Well, hi there. Here we are, and we are going to be talking about meditation on the Word. And let me take this opportunity to say how good it is to be with those of you who are here with us, those of you who are listening over the internet around the world. We are certainly excited to be here with you at this time. Meditation on the Word. Now our scripture is Philippians 4, verses 2 through 9. And let me read that from the NIV, starting with verse 2. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Cynthia to agree with each other on the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, as I said, we're looking at meditation on the Word. I love those verses from Philippians 4 there. There is so much there in those verses. You know, the Word of God is a powerful thing in the lives of those who will meditate on it. And that's what we're focusing on in this session, meditating on God's Word. You know, sometimes it's really interesting. I had somebody say something about, oh, well, we shouldn't talk about angels because New Agers talk about angels. Let me tell you, God created angels. We cannot just let everything that shows up around the world, every flaky thing that shows up, just pre-opt or co-opt everything that God's got going. The thief comes to steal. That's one of the things the thief comes for. And the enemy comes to steal the things of God. You know, but it is very important for us to engage in meditation. You say, oh, meditation, now that sounds like that might be some Eastern religion. Meditation, well, you'll see as I go through this, meditation is a very important thing. The engaging in contemplation and reflection, where the Word of God is concerned, is the only method by which our minds can be renewed. And we know that we're supposed to renew our minds from Romans 12, 2. We know this. Our minds are assaulted, I don't know, but certainly mine is, but I believe our minds are assaulted daily by ungodly topics, which, actually, if we dwell on them, they'll draw us away from God's ways and into ways and thinking of man. Let me tell you, a lot of the ways and thinking of man, as we're told in Proverbs 14:12, well, they end in death. They lead to death. Oh, yes, they might be very acceptable to the people around you. You might just be one of the crowd in the way you're thinking and talking when you're with them. But the Scripture says there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Keep that in mind. Every day we're assaulted by this kind of thing. You know, and even though these reasonings may seem right, once your mind is renewed, you'll realize, you know, this isn't right. This is not God's way of doing things. My friends, we have to develop. It is so necessary for us to develop a biblical worldview, a God's point of view on how we relate to each and everything about us and around us. Because if we're going to spend eternity with Him, if you're one of those people who's accepted Jesus and you're looking forward to spending eternity with Him, believe me, thinking will change. Well, Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we have the opportunity to participate now, not wait to the sweet by and by, not wait till we're tripping those streets of gold and all the things you've heard in some of the songs, but here and now, right now. We are to meditate on God's Word when? Both day and night. Psalms 1:2 tells us that. Day and night we should meditate on God's Word. I'll tell you, my friends, when I'm meditating on God's Word, when I go to sleep at night meditating on God's Word, when you wake up in the morning, morning is much a much sweeter place to greet. A much sweeter place. You say, "Oh, but you don't understand. I can't go to bed thinking about those kinds of things because I have to be worried about how I'm going to pay my bills. I have to be worried about my health. I have to be worried about my children. I have to be worried about all these sort of things." My friend, you need to get off the throne and put God on the throne. Cast your care on Him. He cares for you. Meditate on that a while. Meditate on you are not in charge. He is. And He loves you. You know, thought is such an important matter. It is so important that the word thought is one of the most frequently used words in the Bible. Did you know that? One of the most frequently used words in the Bible. Depending on the translation being used, the word thought is employed in the neighborhood of 136 times, plus or minus a few. Again, depending on the translation. And in as many verses, 105 being in the Old Testament, and 31 of them being in the New Testament. Again, depending on the translation you're using. Therefore, I would have to conclude that thought is most certainly important, and our thinking is important to God. Now, if you've ever been reading through Psalms and you run into this little word at the end of a section that you're reading, and it says, Selah. Have you ever noticed that? That little word there. Well, when we pause to contemplate or to think on a particular scripture, we are following the admonition of Selah. Now, as I say, it's found especially in Psalms, but it's found in other places in the Old Testament. It is found in strategic locations to allow us to learn that particular topic, that one particular topic is something we would do well to think on for a moment or two, because the word Selah means pause and think of that. Pause and think of that. How often have you paused to think about something? And let me ask you, when you pause to think, what do you find yourself pausing to think about? Are you thinking about the things of God, or are you thinking about the things of the world? Well, you say, "Well, I'm not really thinking about the things of the world because I'm thinking about how I can talk to God about fixing something for me." Then you're thinking about things of the world. You're expecting disaster. If you're expecting problems, you're not expecting what God wants you to expect. He wants you to expect blessings. But I was just thinking. Well, have you ever asked someone, "What are you thinking about?" The reply may have been, "Oh, nothing." Huh? Have you ever asked somebody that? "What are you thinking about?" And they'll go, "Oh, nothing." Now, what they may have actually meant when they said that, it might very well have been, "Oh, nothing of consequence," or "nothing that concerns you," or even "nothing I want you to know yet." Now, can you think of times when maybe somebody's asked you what you were thinking? And that, any one of those responses might have been your internal response. Now, what did you say? What you spoke was, oh, nothing. Well, I doubt seriously if you know, you can understand all this. You were probably not brain dead. You probably knew that you were thinking. But you just didn't want, you know, I mean, you're allowed to have private thoughts. Everybody doesn't have to be able to just ripple through your brain to find out what's going on there. I mean, you have a life. It's okay. But it is safe to say their mind was not blank or devoid of all thought. Or yours or mine, if we've answered in that way. But just thinking on a matter is not contemplation of the matter. There are random thoughts which wander through anybody's mind. Do you have random thoughts that just wander through your mind sometimes? Some of those thoughts you might go, oh, stop that. Huh? You know, it's the thought which stops to set up camp in our minds that can become our, oh. We just find ourselves completely out of synchronization with God with some of the thoughts that flip through our mind. Now, I bring this up because I've talked to people who have all this guilt about a thought that flitted through their mind. That's going to happen. Now, if you allow it to set up camp there, to make a little home, to expand itself, you know, to carve out a little territory in your mind, and it's not what needs to be there, that's a different story. Because it's the thought that stops to set up camp. And you can take care of that. You know, the scripture tells us, take every thought captive. Every thought captive. When you do that, then you're back in control of your mind. Do you realize if you don't do that, you're out of control of your mind? Something else is now controlling your mind? Do you like the idea that something that you might not want to be controlling your mind is there controlling your mind? I think not. You probably wouldn't like that. You see, this means that we have control over our thoughts. Now, remember something. They don't become our thoughts just because they pass through. They become our thoughts when we hang on to them. See the difference? They may pass through. And you may say, you just keep on going. You take every thought captive that you want to have, and you deal with those. The others, you just let them pass on by. Now, thinking can take many forms. Listen to some of the forms that thinking can take. Imaginations. Well, hey, now we kind of go, well, you know, if you have a good imagination, that can be a very, very positive thing. But there are other imaginations that can be a very negative thing. There's where we have to take things captive. Feelings. Now, I will tell you, there's nothing wrong with feelings. And if you have a particular feeling, then it's your feeling. And nobody can tell you you don't have that feeling. But watch your feelings. Watch them very, very closely. Because your feelings are things that will either elevate you or destroy you. If you feel like you're a worthless wretch, you will set up a life of being that. If you think that you're a born-again child of the living God, that you live in the blessing, that all of your sins, all your shortcomings, all your missing the mark is covered by the blood of Jesus, and you feel and you know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, that's a very different result, isn't it? I have seen more lives destroyed by people behaving and living on their feelings. Feelings do not make things facts. We can get facts from feelings and feelings from facts. My suggestion is to get your feelings from facts. Because otherwise the enemy can jump in there and just mess you up. Let me tell you why. With feelings, you start looking for things that verify what you're feeling. And so you become so hypersensitive that if someone says something to you that isn't necessarily negative, you may interpret it as negative because you may be looking for things to verify and justify the feeling that you have. So it's very important to understand feelings. And those kinds of thoughts, my friend, you must take captive and deal with. Then there's another kind of thought process, and that's doubting. Have you ever doubted something? Watch what you doubt. Know if you doubt something, if there's a reason behind it. And then the next thing you have are reasonings. But in reasonings, let me ask you, do you always come up with a reason to justify? Do you have reasonings that justify each and everything you do? I've seen a lot of people destroyed by that. Because that usually gets tied into feelings if you're not careful. And that can be a downward spiral. Now, again, though, if you're God-focused, if your mind is focused on God and the things of God, and then your reasons and your reasoning has to do with what you've learned from your renewed mind from Scripture, very different thing. But reasonings can often be used to justify that which is not justifiable. Then we get into opinions. You know, everybody can have an opinion. As a matter of fact, you cannot get sued by anything you say about somebody as long as you put the little words in there that say, in my opinion. You can say, in my opinion, someone is a thief. But you cannot say they are a thief because then you have to prove it. You never have to prove an opinion. People don't realize that. I know Eleanor Roosevelt, the wife of FDR, said that. She used to say, I can say anything as long as I say in my opinion. Because everyone's allowed to have their own opinion. But your opinions, as a believer, need to be opinions couched within the confines of Scripture. Then there are speculations. How many people speculate about what somebody else is thinking and they don't have the slightest idea? They speculate about other people's motives and they churn and they wonder about that. Speculations. Then another thing is plots. Well, now you can speculate and have bad feelings because you have reasoned that somebody is plotting against you. If that's not what's really happening, that's oftentimes referred to as paranoia. Oftentimes referred to as paranoia. Can you see how thoughts and feelings and whatever you meditate on can be very much a two-edged sword? It can cut to the good or it can cut to the bad. What do you hold in regard in your thoughts? To regard something. Do you regard things highly? Do you regard things lowly? Where you make those decisions. Do you esteem something? There's another form of thought. Esteemed? What are intentions? Intentions often go with plots, you know. That I know what their intention is. Well, what's your intention? You know, the Scripture tells us that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things and deceptive. We might find that we have reasoned away something and imagined something in our mind that we feel good about, but our intention may not really be a godly intention. How do we learn what these things are? Then we suppose things. Well, I suppose that's right. Well, a supposition needs to really, you need to watch those. And then there's another form of thought, and that's praying. I don't know if you're a thought of praying as thought, but it is. But people really need to learn to pray out loud. Now, there are some things you don't want people to hear that you're praying. So you might go into your little quiet place and pray. You know, for example, if you're really angry at somebody, I don't suggest you go to God and say, well, you know, zap that wretch. I don't think that's really good. You know? But in praying, we need to think about what we pray. Let me ask you a question. How much time do you spend thinking about what you're going to pray? In other words, if you're going to pray something, have you ever thought about sitting down with a pad and a paper and writing down? That's called praying intentionally. There's a good kind of intention. And write out the prayer. What do you really want? What are you really trying to accomplish? What is your communication to God? Maybe your prayer to God is just to praise Him and worship Him. But do you realize if you just sat down and you expanded on, okay, what am I going to do in this prayer? How am I going to handle this prayer? Give that a try. Watch how meditating on what you're about to do and how you're about to relate to God, how that may really affect and change how you function. In other words, the next thing you might think about in that is considering. When you're considering things, my friends, write them down. Now, some of these things you may not want other people to see. You may need to, you know, chew it up and swallow it. I don't really mean that literally, but you may need to put it through a shredder, you know, burn it or something. I understand that. But if you can write it down and you can look at it and you can fold it up and put it someplace and bring it back out a little bit later and look at it again, you would be amazed at what just meditating and considering and then really looking at what you're doing and what you're thinking, what your imaginations are, what your opinions are, what your feelings are, what your doubts and your reasonings and your speculations and your plots and your regards and your esteem and all your suppositions are all about. And then comparing. Oh, let me tell you. Comparing must be the next thing that gets people in trouble next to feelings. People who compare themselves continually to other people. You are a unique creation of God. Meditate on that. Don't meditate on, is somebody thinner, is somebody taller, is somebody prettier, is, you know, somebody more handsome, is somebody this or somebody that. Just compare yourself to yourself and the progress you're making in your walk with God. Meditate on the Word. Every comparison you make needs to be with the Word. Every intention needs to be an intention tied into the Word. Every feeling needs to be tied into the Word. The reasonings that you have. This is just to name a few types of thought that you need to look at in meditation. So now I'm going to talk about meditation. Now you could ask, can we get back to meditation as described in the Scripture? Well, certainly we can. And let's do so by looking at the specific word used for biblical meditation. Okay? The word is sixu. This word carries the meaning of reflection, prayer, devotion, complaint even, and musing. We need to reflect on God's Word to understand His meaning. We need to pray both God's Word back to Him and pray for understanding of God's Word. Let me ask you, do you ever pray God's Word back to Him? When you praise Him, do you ever say, you know, for example, I said that if we are the righteousness of God in Christ, then when you talk back to God about it, you could say, Lord, I thank you that I am the righteousness of you. You don't have to tell God He's God. He knows that, see? So you just say, I thank you that I am the righteousness of you in Christ. Have you ever thought about praying that back to God? Have you ever thought about saying, God, I am so thankful that you so loved the world that you sent your only begotten Son to save me? That you did not send Him in the world to condemn me, but to give me eternal life? You see, you can take the prayers. You can say, Lord, I am so thankful that you are my shepherd that I will not have any wants in life because you will take care of me. That's praying. How exciting do you think it would be? How pleasurable do you think it would be for God to hear that you're meditating on His Word, understanding its value, and you are giving His Word back to Him? Let me ask you, if you've ever raised children, and you hear your children speaking back to you the very good things that you taught them, doesn't that make you feel good to know that? Well, how do you think God feels when we do the same, when we can demonstrate that we have meditated, spent some time in thought, deep thought, which is musing, when we've spent that kind of time. You see, we need to reflect on God's Word to understand His meaning. We need to pray both God's Word back to Him. We need to devote our thoughts and ways to God's Word. In other words, does what we do, what we think, what we say, whatever, does it line up with Scripture? We need to take our complaints to God. Now listen to me here. We need to take our complaints to God rather than spread our complaints to others or develop a bitter root. How many times have you never taken a complaint to God, but you sit down with somebody at lunch where you work or wherever you are, and you tell them what a louse you think somebody is? Don't complain to people who can't do anything about it. If you have a complaint, take your complaint to God. Talk to Him about it. And you're complaining, say, you know, maybe I'm complaining because I don't understand, but Your Word, I'm so thankful that Your Word says that I can have the mind of Christ, and if I have the mind of Christ, I can understand all these things. You see, what happens when we complain to other people is we reinforce what we're upset about to ourselves. And then we may find ourselves developing a bitter root. Have you ever developed a bitter root towards somebody? I know a man right now who has developed a bitter root toward God because his wife became very ill and nearly died. And because he's had poor teaching, this is a man who's in church every week, but because he's had poor teaching, he's mad at God because his wife got sick and almost died. Well, now, who got off scot-free there? I believe Satan did, didn't he? You see, I believe that Satan got off scot-free there. And once again, God gets the guff, and he's not the bad guy. So a bitter root can develop, and I will tell you, bitter roots will destroy you. Bitter roots won't destroy the person you're bitter about, or you're bitter to. Do you think that his bitterness at God right now is harming God in any way? Do you think God is less of God? If you're angry at somebody else, or you have a bitter root that's developed towards somebody else, do you think that they are in the least bit less because of your bitter root? No. You may be. I talk to people all the time where they still have a bitter root toward a former spouse. And that bitter root has absolutely eaten away at their lives, sometimes for decades. That's really sad, my friend. Very sad. Because it does not harm the other person necessarily, but the person who has the bitter root is deeply, deeply harmed, right to their core. That's where a bitter root goes. It's a tap root that goes right to your core. And what is your core? That your core is your heart. And the Word of God tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you wish somebody were better, then start speaking that they are. Because we have the authority, according to Scripture, to call things that are not as though they are. Now, musing or deep thought on God's Word is a great way to press into God. I don't know if you've ever thought of that or not, but it is a great way to be in deep thought on God's Word. You are really pressing in. You are getting closer. You are learning. You are understanding. because you will be given understanding. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened. We have all of these promises in Scripture, and I see so many people walk around like those things were never written down for their benefit, like they weren't even in there. As a matter of fact, if you could take a person's Bible and listen to them, and you knew where to find everything that related to what they were saying in the Bible, and you could just take scissors and cut out the things that they said that would indicate that they didn't believe what the Bible said. Now, maybe they're just ignorant, but the point is, you cut those out. I wonder how many people would have very few pages unscathed in a Bible. What about you? If you took the things that you say, watch what you say, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Watch what you say and see when you find that, say, oh, if I cut that out of my Bible, how many other verses would relate to that? And I would have to cut those out too. Do you understand why so many people have such difficulty being close to God? Because they have treated their scriptures that they have in their own personal Bible as though they were never placed there. I want you to get a mental picture each time you say something that is not in line with God, that you just took a pair of scissors and started ripping scripture out of the Bible. Not a wise thing to do, because pretty soon you're left with very little. And the very little you're left with is probably not in context, because you cut out the context simply by what you, in your thought process and everything that you denied, because you did not meditate, you did not draw near to God so that He could draw near to you. My friend, pressing into God is spending time in His Word and meditating on it. So I will close here with these words again to the Philippians from Paul. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Jesus and His work on the cross. We thank You that as believers, we can meditate on Your Word and have it revealed to us, because You have said that You would reveal the secret things of You to us. And we thank You for that. We are so honored to be in Your kingdom, the kingdom of the blessing, and to have the comfort and the knowledge that we are relating to You through Your Word, through our thoughts, through our prayers, through Your contact with us and ours with You. And we praise You for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you couldn't pray that prayer because you've never accepted Christ, you can do that right now. Yes, right now. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I'm sorry. I change my way. I change everything. I look to You. I accept Jesus as my Lord to look after my life and to govern my life. And I accept Him as my Savior. I don't want to go to hell. I want to spend eternity with You, God. I come to You just the way I am, knowing that You'll accept me as I am. And You'll change me into what You want me to be. In Jesus' name, I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family of God. Now, you get into the Scriptures. You find yourself a good Bible-believing group of people that you can fellowship with. And you grow in the Lord. If you can't find anyone you can fellowship with, you contact us at sojournershub.org on the internet. Call our toll-free number. It's listed right there on our homepage, at the bottom of our homepage. We'll work with you. We'll help you. We'll either work with you directly or we'll find somebody who will. Because we want you to enjoy all God has to offer in this life and the next. And so, my friends, this is the sojourner saying, the blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours, by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus.